American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, October 26, 2009. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, the Wall Global SITREP on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts. But do you ever really check anybody's facts? I would say no, you probably don't. But if you want to do that, you go to my live journal, okay? And you can get there by going to Sean, S-E-A-N, underscore Kennedy.livejournal.com. This is a free broadcast, which is not a broadcast, because a broadcast would think that it's being launched from antennas, which in kind of a strange way it sort of is. But in actuality, what this is a podcast. Maybe you downloaded this podcast. Maybe you think a podcast is like a podcast, but that's just a marketing term. But what bottom line here is this is a podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, RedMercury.se, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, Second Life, Node, Archers, every Thursday on grid 15574666. And, of course, if you happen to be having a shortwave radio and you just want to get your kicks that way, you can listen to us on Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 6673.3 kilohertz. So thank you very much. And now, of course, the man you're all waiting for, the big fucking star, now that he's got his own show on Rant Now, it's my beautiful and talented co-host, Samarian.
Greetings, Sean. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, but I have a lot of background noise going in my microphone.
Silence that, eh?
Okay, actually, yeah. Oh, I think I did it. Yeah, I think we're okay now.
Okay, good.
So, you know, well, if there's kind of an audible hum there, there's definitely going to be some kind of a sparky thing. But I think that'll just add to the whole underground nature of the show.
That's right.
That's what pirate broadcast
is. Put some 60 hertz in there. Sounds better.
You know, people will be like, is it the after now? I think it's the after now. He said he was going to do more after now. I think this might be it, you know. Yes, I'm. You know, the thing is, as you know, this week I've been working like a fiend on After Now. This is shaping up.
Seeing
so
it
far,
Facebook. I've been seeing it everywhere. You had lots of big numbers happening.
Yeah, I've been able to break 2,000 words every day this week, which is my number. And I got that number actually, ironically, from a lie that Stephen King told. He said that in his book on writing that to be a writer you should write 2,000 words a day. Like that was his number for writing. So I thought, fuck, well, if I'm going to be a horror writer, you know, and you're going to implant off of somebody, you know, I mean, who better than Stephen King?
That's the guy.
You know, he's the guy, you know, if you wanted to know what's going on. So, but then I found out, he said later in an actual interview, I think on Leno or something like that, somebody told me that he doesn't actually write, he doesn't write 2,000 words a day. But when he does write, he writes more than 2,000 words a day.
I was just going to say, because he writes books, so like he's so prolific, he has to average out at least 2,000 somewhere.
Well, not really. If you do the word counts on his books, sell a book, I have this problem. See, what I should do is to start cranking out After Now, like single story stuff, where it's like and he's running and he's wearing a leather jacket, and there's very little world building, there's very little structure. You know, and that's what, you know, a lot of these, you know, they build the world and then they pimp it out for like 12 books or whatever.
Yeah.
Very much Harry Potter, you know, and that whole thing. And you make it for young adults and children. This book is not for children. Okay. The book is not for children. The book goes into, I wasn't really sure how I was going to do it because we were transferring from an audio medium. But you got to understand is that the world of the After Now, when I did it, I didn't make up the world. I had the world and I made up the guy who was the broadcaster, and told stories about stuff that was going on in the world. That's why the world all meshes together, and it sort of sinks. So I've had to build onto that world, so you get, like, I wanted to, you know when you got the old fantasy books, and you open up the fantasy book, and you've got, like, the map of the world, you know, and it shows, you know, that there's a ton of... you know, lands and everything that you haven't even explored yet.
And mountainous area, there's a plains area, there's an unknown land, unknown area, and there's ocean surrounding the whole thing,
So, I mean, I enjoy that sort of thing. That's kind of what I want, right, is I kind of want it to be something akin to that, that, you know, the reader will feel like they didn't get ripped off. Like, I don't want somebody to, because everybody tells me the same thing, right? Like, oh, I can't put down your books. I can't put it down. Read it one sitting. Well, you're not going to read this one in one sitting because you'll fucking starve. Okay, I'm here to tell you. All right,
I know. When I go to the bookstore and I pick up a book and I open it up, I'm always disappointed at how big the print is and how much spaces there are between each line, and how just how big the font is. It's astronomically stupid, and you feel ripped off when you pick up a book.
Oh well, I mean, I just went and got the wife, because the wife, you know, the wife, she loves the Patricia Cromwell. Right, she loves the she loves the Kathy Reichs, Patricia Cromwell, forensic CSI, one book dedicated to picking over a whole dead body, you know, which I think is a really big waste of time. Like, why would you spend a whole book on one dead body when there's plenty more imaginary people we could go frag, and you're picking away on this one dead body? Anyway, so the thing is that we get the book, right, hardcover, you know. $40 book or whatever the hell it is, right? But, you know, she loves her books, so whatever. She's reading it right now. I kid you not. While I'm doing this show, my wife is shoving the words of Cromwell, or Patricia Cromwell, the Scarpetta Factor is the name of the book. And she's cramming that into her head right now as we speak. And I look at this. I grab the book. First of all, the whole thing is, like, double-spaced. Okay, right off the
top. Yeah.
Because, which I hate. Okay, I hate double-spaced books. It pisses me off. Like, what? You don't think I can, you know, read the big words when they're close together or something? That's retarded. Okay, so right off the top, you cut the book in half. Okay, like, if I was to write this book and publish it the way that Patricia Cromwell published her book, it'd be the size of a case, of a computer case. It'd be ridiculous. There's no way.
You flip open the top hardcover front, and it wouldn't touch the table because it would be so high up in the air.
Yeah, no, without a word of a lie. I mean, as it's sitting right now, I mean, the book's probably looking close to 300,000 words. Nobody does 300,000 word novels anymore. Like, no one does that. Yeah. Who does that? I mean, you know, you can go all crazy and get all Cryptonomicon and stuff like that, and be like Neal Stephenson, because he just went nuts, right? He wrote Snow Crash, and then he fell off the boat, right? And he's just, you know, the guy's brilliant, right? I mean, he wrote Cryptonomicon longhand. I've seen the actual manuscript that he wrote with a fountain pen longhand, like the whole fucking book.
And
they have it in the Museum of Science Fiction, which is pretty, you know, I gotta say, it's pretty cool. You know, if I wrote a book and I knew it was gonna be in the Museum of Science Fiction, I'd probably write it longhand with a fountain pen, too. You know, just be all, you know.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, writers are pretty egotistical bunch. But, it's interesting because now my brain is, like, really, like, I can feel the difference. Like, I'm tired. You know, if you run every morning, by Friday, you're, like, you're feeling tired. That's kind of how my brain is feeling now. But it's slipping in back into old habits. And it's a bit of a challenge. Friday, I think I'm on track. I'd like to do one full week and have, like, a full solid week on my birthday week, right? Friday's my birthday. That'll stop me from feeling like I'm a failure. And, you know, because I'm like, no, I'm not a failure. I'm a writer. Look, I did, you know, 2,000 words today, which sometimes that's all it takes just to make yourself, you know, feel a little bit better. Now,
happy temporal shifting birthday to you.
Yes, and thank you. Thank you, and thank you, Internet.
Because it's tomorrow, but it's 3 days back at
the
same
time. Well, you know, it's so lovely. I got on I jumped on the Internet last Saturday night because I was playing, what was I playing? Battlefield 2. I went out with a bunch of buddies, and they had a big LAN party. So they said, hey, come on over to LAN party. And I was drinking Red Rain and vodka that we had, and we... I must have drank about, I shit you not, like 2 liters of Red Rain. Okay, like I drank so much energy drinks. Oh my God. So, like, I come home at night and I jump on Second Life for whatever reason. And I always love it when I jump onto Second Life. Like, Sean, why are you here? And I'll always come back with the same thing. It's like, well, why are you here? I'm looking for friends. Why are you here? Did you just want to talk? Because I'm just here to sort of talk. Oh, yeah, good point. Anyway, so I jump on, and I think it was Mephit sent me an invite, and bang, I wind up on this after-party show. For another broadcast that they do, and it was great. I hung out in there for like 2 hours while I was spinning cool. down on my energy drink high. It was a good time. But there's an Aussie guy. This is a funny story, actually. There was an Aussie guy. Because you've seen all these dust storms, right? You know, that's going across Australia. I've been talking about it. Radioactive dust storms from where they did the nuke testing in Australia, right? So the sands are all radioactive. Wind comes through here.
Right.
And then, boom, you know, you got these insane dust storms that show up. Now, the guy who, you know, I wish I could remember his name. I believe it was, if somebody in the room knows what his name was, I'd love to remember it. I think it was Steampunk or something like that. But he was an Aussie guy. Sometimes he's even here. And he's in Australia, and he works with disabled people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And being and working with disabled people, he's kind of, you know, he's kind of a different sort of guy, you know, and he kind of marches to his own beat and his own drum. And, of course, he's got his AWOL bag, you know. He's got his Bauer bag, his fast-action
right,
gun
yeah.
bag, right, which he's got with him.
He's prepared.
Yeah, and he just got crap from the wife because he went and he bought himself, you know, watching patrolling and everything, and he decided he's going to go get himself a set of these goggles, right? He wants these goggles because they're like sunglasses, but they're goggles, right?
Right.
And they're $80, and they're goggles. So it sounds cool to wear goggles now, but when you're an adult and stuff, you can't really walk around in the city wearing goggles as sunglasses.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of. But this guy was badass. This guy's so badass. He buys them anyway. The wife's harping on him. It's like totally brutal. Okay. He's out there. He's got most of the time. He just keeps him with him in his bag. Okay, so he's out there and he's working with the kids in the field. And all of a sudden, the sun turns blue. So try to imagine what the lighting effect of that is. Okay, the sun turns blue. It was Zalia Steampunk was the guy's name. That's right. And so Zalia Steampunk there. He's out there in the field, and all of a sudden the sun turns blue, and this stinging wave, like 50,000 hornets, hits everyone. No one could see. People are choking, falling on the ground. He grabs his Bauer bag, right? Into it he goes, and what has he got in there waiting for him but those goddamn goggles. Those goggles that everybody made fun of him for. That everybody said he should not have had, you know, that's why don't you just get a normal pair of glasses? Oh, yeah. Boom! Puts those on. He's able to get his people out of the fucking dust cloud, puts it in there, and he, like, saves the fucking day. And he's telling me this, I'm laughing my ass off, right? Because now it's like, you know, the guy wore body armor for 15 years, and one day somebody shot at him, and the body armor stopped the bullet. Now it's like, boom! Now I'm never, like, you know, his wife can't say shit to him now. You know, I mean, he could go out there and start stocking up on the MREs tomorrow, you know. It's awesome.
But it's like you say, better to have it, not need it, than need it, not have it, right?
You never know when a radioactive dust cloud could hit your neck of the woods. That's what
that's
I say.
Right.
So
be
now,
prepared.
Now,
be
on,
a Boy Scout.
On the be prepared thing, I started fighting with you. We got lots of banter this show. Now, I started fighting with you before we got on the air about the cow thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, the cow thing.
It spilled over from the Facebook arguments.
Okay, well, yes. It didn't start on the Facebook arguments either. Now, I just... like, every time I start talking about cows, you start talking about UFOs. Okay? I'm not ready to make the leap that the cattle mutilations are caused by UFOs. I'm not ready to make that leap yet. Okay?
I'm just going with popular consensus.
Fuck popular consensus. You're talking to me. Okay? Like, No. Let's do something original here. Okay? Let's just think about this.
Okay.
Okay, so hang on. What have we got? Seriously, we've got an isolated, farm in the middle of winter, in Alberta. Okay, Faith, all this started when Faith sent me a link about this guy who went to go check out these bison, this bison farm. And a full-grown male bison, massive fucking animal, has got his asshole lasered out and his lips all cut off, and generally he's pretty fucked up. With not a lot of signs of struggle or blood. And you got... he's lying there, right? In the middle... And this is in the Alberta winter. So if you're from the States and you don't know anything about the Alberta winter, no one really goes out into the Alberta winter because you'll die. Okay, like that's how cold it is. All right, so you don't go out.
Yeah, except for the heavily armored bison, which have lots of fur and stuff to protect them.
Yeah, they're giant woolly bison. They're like tauntauns with two legs. If a tauntaun was crossed with a train, it would be a bison. So anyway, so you've got this bison out here. So, okay, it's a weird thing. You know what I mean? Like you look at that and you go, okay, something. Okay, it's got to be.
It looks
sentient.
Deliberate, right? It looks completely
deliberate. It's not an animal.
Deliberate.
It's not an animal. Okay, it is deliberate. The organs are removed.
Unless it's a fire-breathing dragon or something because it's got laser burns.
No, it can't. Well, it's not even laser burns. It's burned. Okay, we're not sure if it's a laser.
Yeah,
they said it would be like a laser.
Okay.
Okay, so it could be.
Well, part of it was cut out with laser precision. It was
laser
it was
precision is a little different. That's a marketing term. But what we're talking about here is we're talking about a. So what we've got is we've got a burned out animal, and this isn't something that. We don't have. It's not like something that somebody's got a bad photo of. Like, there it is. Okay, fully documented. And more than that, there's like you...
Yeah, it was a good photo. Yeah.
Well, multiple photos. And there's... That's not rare. That was just some dude, you know, who found one. If you look into it, there are literally thousands of these all over the world. And I'm not making that shit up. Now, I'm not even... We're not even going to conclusions. We're not thinking about it. We're not thinking about whatever... but it's, there's no, if you look at the nature of the injuries and you look at the situations in which they're found, the drunk kids thing, you know, it's people playing pranks and stuff. Like, no, I'm sorry.
I've got it. It's UFO book writers are doing this to sell their books.
UFO
I figured it out.
Well, I would argue that they're not capable enough. Really. The logistics okay, first of all, let's talk about. Taking a bison and cutting his asshole out. Now, in the cold, okay, in the winter without the use of vehicles, first you got to catch him. Okay, first you got to catch him. Maybe you
no
dart.
Small feet. Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe you dart the animal. Okay, so you dart the animal so he's unconscious, right? So he's drugged. But that
yeah,
would leave,
true. Yeah.
So, but that
it's
would
not like it's not like they're going to do drug testing to the bison afterwards. They're not
they
going to care that much.
But
was
see,
it
that's
drunk?
Why I'm thinking
could.
This way.
They could.
That's why I'm thinking this way, right? Because okay, first thing that happens is that fucking bison's getting checked the fuck out, right? Like, let me pull all the blood out of this bison because he's dead anyway, right? So let's get some drug tests going on the bison, see if he's loaded with you know. Some kind of sleeping agent or some
something.
Shit. Yeah, you know, I mean, something that's man-made, right? But if that's not there, something, okay, like, Sim, you will agree with me that something is doing this. I mean...
The bison didn't do it to itself.
Right, so, you know,
yes.
And this is the point with specifically with cattle mutilations where, you know, the skeptics pretty much got run of the farm. In every other field, cryptozoology, all that shit. The skeptics can walk in there and kick over sandcastles and punch holes in theories. You know, they really can, which is, you know, there's something to be said for it because there's not a lot of data in a lot of fields. That's not to say that those fields are not accurate. It's just that the data is sometimes not as scientifically rigorous as some people would like. So, but with the cattle mutilations thing, see, it's the thing is I don't have to prove what that is. I don't have to have a theory here. All I've got to do is prove that that is not of human origin, and you win. That's it. No, seriously.
Yeah.
If you can prove...
Yeah. Like that's true. That's true.
If it's not us, ergo, we open the door to the outworld versus alien. We have the whole, like, not humans doing this. Okay.
There's no other creature on Earth that can be explained that could have done this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, it is either us, right, which is would be the lodgment, or it is.
It would be the default thing. It'd be the most logical thing to say it was a human because
based
you know,
on
we
existing
have no
data.
Other we have no other knowledge of
based
any
on
other
existing.
Creature.
Yeah, but the point is just because. Well, I think it was this fish because this is the only fish we know about. That's not a valid argument, right? I think it's
no, it's not.
It's a fairly safe. I don't believe that these cattle mutilations are... I cannot... The reason why I don't think they're of human origin is I cannot figure out a motive. There is no motive here. No, there's no motive. Like, what's the motive? The cattle farmer's not going to do it. That animal is worth, like, a few thousand dollars just as it sits. Okay, so he's not going to kill, because this is his livestock. This is his livelihood. They don't want the press.
He's not making any money off of killing the bisons. He's not selling his story.
He's not selling stories, and a lot of farmers, they're not really interested in stories, right? So where's the motive? What possible motive is there for them to do this? And now, when you introduce that factor to a global phenomenon, I mean, even if 10% of the reported cattle mutilations are accurate, we still have a global phenomenon. So, you know, and at some point you have to kind of sit back and go, well, that's indicative. You know, it's like we're all fish and a fisherman comes by and keeps grabbing fish out of the water. You're like, huh, we lost another one. I don't know what happens to them. Maybe aliens take them. No, men take them, actually. What are these men you speak of, you know? I'm wondering what that is. Now, the weird thing is it's similar organs are taken every time. This is the other thing, is that they always remove their genitals and digestive tract. Which, if you're going to perceive, it would look to me like I can see why they'd say it's something scientific because it loans itself to the alien theory, right? Which I'm like, well, that's a pretty big leap of logic right there. I mean, you know, I don't know what it could just as easily be.
My argument against that is like, why don't they just take a couple bison and or cows or whatever they're tearing apart and take them to their home planet and breed them there? Why do they have to come to Earth and keep doing that?
Well,
isn't it a long trip just to come to Earth and cut apart some cows and then go back
insane,
home?
Right, and you enter into the realms of speculation right at that point. And I'm not ready to go down that path. I'm not even really ready to say that it's not humans, but
not either
the likelihood
it's
of
a copycat crime. They see it once, they think it's cool, and they do it again and again. And
sure, if you can explain to me how exactly they do that. That would be great.
Yeah.
If you could explain to me and show me how that was accomplished, how exactly do you put down a multi-ton animal who's generally pretty pissed off in the wintertime, which you're going to sneak up on a farm?
Well, just like you said, you take them down with a blow dart and with some drugs in it. Nobody ever investigates it enough because they don't really care enough to do that. Maybe a farmer loses one and it never happens again. Why would he go?
You want to be careful. You want to be careful with that because there are people who dedicate a lot of time and do take blood samples and do this stuff, but they never get any press because people think they're crazy. Okay, so this is actually I'm not trying to knock you off your ladder here. But it is. This is. I'm not the first guy to talk about this. You know.
I wouldn't say it's impossible for a human to do this to a creature.
Yeah. So
all these things that they're describing.
Right. So, you know, I don't know.
No, there's not much motive for it. No.
No. So I'm trying to figure out the motive and all these things. When you hit, like, for you, it's like a total shutdown. You can't get past that because now you have to resort to humor. Because your reality becomes unstable if you know it's something outworldly, you know what I mean?
Oh, it just doesn't make sense for it to be offworldly. Like,
well, it doesn't make sense. Nothing about it makes sense. Yeah, nothing about it makes sense. There's no reason for this to be. There's no reason for this to have happened. So something is doing this, and or something or someone is doing this. I'd probably say it's a someone. Because it shows that it's not an animal doing this. It's obviously something sentient doing this. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. It's definitely something that I'm interested in, you know, because, you know, well, I don't know. If I went to their planet and started cutting up their pets, probably pretty pissed at us. You know, I mean, whatever. And, you know, I'm not really, you know, it could be time travelers. Who knows? Maybe they're like, I've always thought that if you're going to take
that. That's how they power their time travel machines.
Well, that's a bit of a leap of logic.
Genitals of cows,
well,
cow genitals.
Generally, you'd want to take a look at what's in the food system, right? If you go 12 monkeys with this thing, right? If you want to, like, look at it and think of the different, as a writer, as a creative person, you know, I look at this and go, why would they do that?
Yeah.
What possible motives would they have? You know what I mean? To always be taking things related to the reproductive system and the digestive tract. Weird. Weird stuff
going on.
So the thing is, though, you know, all I'm saying here is, number one, it's not explainable. Number two, the skeptics got nothing on that. So the next time some atheist comes up and starts talking shit to you, you start talking about cattle mutilations. Yeah, and then you start laying, if you really wanted to be cool, you want to have, like, the pictures with you. That'll be hot. Then you bust out the manila envelope, and you're like, oh, yeah?
Where does religion come into this?
What?
Where does religion come into this?
Oh, no. The atheists are brutal because, you see, atheists piss me off quite a bit. because they're running around with a hood on, you know, claiming that they know everything. And there's a lot of stuff that you don't know. People who say, this isn't true. Okay, well, yeah, but you run into
that isn't the cry of atheists. That's the cry of religious people that they know everything. Atheists that believe in science and they don't know everything. They don't know how the universe started. The theists think they know how the universe started. God
did. It's not us, it's them! I know. And then, but generally the atheists also, you know, pick on, you know, my friends in the whole, you know, mysteries of the occult and esoteric crowd. Now, granted, you guys are generally fucking with the Christians and with the Muslims and everybody first, which is nice. But, you know, eventually we'll be on the chopping block too. I'm pretty sure of it. So, you know, after you're done...
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Well, you know, I'm just saying. But, yeah.
That's the agenda, the atheist agenda.
The atheist.
Watch out for your children.
The vegan atheist agenda. okay, let's get into some feedback. It's like 24 minutes.
Godless carrots for everyone.
Godless carrots. The new Porn on Beta album, Godless Carrots. Awesome sauce. Okay. No coughing. Dear Sean. First off, happy birthday. I forget what date is exactly, but I know it's mid to late October. The 23rd, maybe? Anyways. Sadly, this is reference to my missile silo story, where we're talking about American castles. He says, sadly, the problem with missile silos is the fact that lots of them tend to be extremely toxic. Generally, these old sites are pretty seriously contaminated with PCBs, toxic flame retardants, TCEs, toxic cleaning solvents, and leaked fuel and asbestos. Oh. Well, that's not so good. So even if you can get a good deal, you'll face a lengthy and expensive cleanup process. At the end of the day, it might just be cheaper to build a brand new bunker somewhere.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, you're not going to get like
You could buy some bunkers for really cheap, and it comes with a lot of land. Of course, you're in the middle of nowhere as well.
Well, you say that like it's a bad thing. You know,
If you don't mind shipping your food in every 2 months and not having any outside contact, then...
Well, my food gets shipped in anyway.
Perfect paradise.
Well, yeah. It'd be good. I'd have human contact because the WOGs would come see me. They'd be the only people to come see me, actually. Which, you know, strangely, if I had a missile bunker and everything and a few hundred extra bunks, sure, what the hell. You know, don't shit on the floor, you know, kind of a thing. But, yeah, it'd be, you know... Anyway, we'll get into that. I've got a lot of stuff I want to talk about this show. Not the least of which is, the Sea Shepherd's new ship they got. Holy shit. I don't know if you know anything about that. Oh, but anyway.
No, I haven't heard.
First, we got some drama. Okay. We're back to the furries again. The creatures that won't go away. The furries.
Why?
No, because this is a new thing for me. So I get this letter. Right? It says, hi, Sean. Furries get a hard time on the internet, not because of their kink. This is his response to one of my letters. Anyone who's spent more than a couple of hours on the web knows that the weirder shit out there than that. No, furries are looked down upon because of the nature of their community. Like the email you received in the show probably shed some light on it. This community is ripe with labels and drama. A lot of this drama is being forced onto other internet cultures, which explains the hating. So I'm like, so he tells me this, right? Which I'm like, what? People in bunny suits? Are you fucking serious? And I'm like, okay, so I read him back, which is rare. I mean, this never, ever happens.
So there's furry infighting.
Oh, yeah, wait for it. I write him back. I'm like, hey, can you expand on this? Like, what kind of drama can dudes dressed up as rabbits actually have? I'm kind of curious. You know? So dutifully, and like an amazing human being, he writes me back. Like, why people will go through this effort. I'm totally in love with this person.
Nice.
Sure. I'm not going to give his name because, like, the furries will hunt him down and kill him, apparently. But anyway, sure.
Of course.
He comes back.
Leaking secrets.
Yes, of course. Sure. I don't really know all that much about what goes on inside their community, but the resident rant furry, Griffin something, went on about how fed up he was with the infighting and general bitchiness. Apparently... there's a lot of value placed on just being unique, somebody sporting a similar outlook on the fandom, or just having a similar fursona. I love that. Alter ego is a huge insult. Your fursona is like my fursona. The problem...
Fight.
Yeah, you two bunnies, fight. Which, you know, if we could do that in real life, I'd be fucking...
That would be great.
American Gladiator furry, you know. The problem I and my peers have with the furry fandom is that they get really into explaining and defending their personal views of the fandom in the community, not pertaining to the furries. it would be understandable if everyone went around spreading on this one lie about furries. I would want to pipe up too. But their own views are wildly divergent. So at the drop of a hat, you'll get tons of furries jumping out of the woodwork, ready to fight each other by preaching
their
own...
That's a great phrase.
Yeah, it's you know, so at the drop
furries
of a hat...
Furries jumping out of the woodwork.
Well, the whole sentence, you got to... So at the drop of a hat, you get tons of furries jumping out of the woodwork, ready to fight each other by preaching their own take on furry fandom and how theirs is not weird like those other guys. Us
furrier than thou.
Furrier than thou. Us non-furries do not really care. I don't see the need to go into that in your personality. See furries as inner spiritual being or whatnot for a whole community. Still, this is what they do. I'm not really hating on these people. They're not hurting themselves or anyone, so they're free to believe what the fuck they want and fuck who they want. But still, there's something to be said for staying on topic. Okay, so I guess the drama is... You know, and there's a person who got outed to me, who I found out was a furry, and they were like a longtime news contributor, and I love this person. She's great.
You quickly banned them.
No, I didn't ban them. I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah, I'm a furry too. And I'm like, wow, that's creepy. And you know, and we talked. She said, well, did you want? Because I know she's going to write me a letter now. I promise you. I'm getting.
Sense of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But these people that are taking like their spiritual animal and taking it to the thing.
Well, it's kind of it's strange, you know. I think dressing up like rabbits is weird. You know, I do. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying you think that's weird. I don't think there's anything wrong. That's the one fucked up thing. Everybody's afraid to say what they think is fucked up. You know, I mean, and I get shit for saying that. You know, I think we should just, you know, shoot pedophiles, and I get big trouble for that. Oh my God! Which, you know, back in the day when I started saying that 10 years ago, I thought the whole fucking universe would be on my side with that one. Of all the things that I thought I'd get called out on, killing pedophiles wasn't really something that I thought I would get called out on. But yeah, you know, that's it. And I think that, you know, it's okay to have some standards in your own personal life. And if somebody comes and goes, who are you to judge me? Well, I'm fucking Sean, okay? That's who I am. And you can go do whatever the fuck you want and go in peace, my child.
Anybody could do whatever they want.
Sure.
And people could call down whoever they want. It's whether you take action upon other people.
I can't imagine... You know, maybe it's a wonderful experience. Maybe I should give it a shot. I don't know what I dress up as.
It's freedom. Well, it's like Halloween every day.
Well, no.
People dress up for Halloween and they love it.
I get it.
Why don't you just expand that out for every day? Like,
hey,
you know, you
when
go
you're
to,
14
I go
years
to the
old,
goth club and dress up and
sure.
You know, it's not Halloween when I do that.
I was 14 dressed up like a giant rabbit running around in parades because that was a job. You were a mascot operator and it was a good perk because although it was 10,000 degrees out and you were sweating your bag off and you were going to die in the sun, all the cute chicks came up and, like, groped you. So you had this weird, you know, safe sex experience where it's like, you know, you can't feel anything through 8 inches of foam and rubber and fur. But you know within 5 inches of you, there's, like, a super hot chick, you know? And you think that that's pretty cool. And they're just happy as hell getting their picture taken with you. And you're like, oh, I wish I could feel whatever soft bit that I'm grabbing right now because I bet you it's in my heart. You know, and that's serious.
But all you feel is the sweaty inside of a fur suit.
So I don't like that on a personal level. Like, if that sexually excites someone, on a very personal and real, genuine, like, you need to seek help level. Like, you need to seek help. That's not healthy. Okay, that's how you get athlete's foot all over your body. Okay, just don't do that. it's really bad. Like, just don't. Anyway, let's get into some news. Enough of that. In combat,
yes.
what? Google
the furries. No, just move on.
I'm moving on. Don't get sucked in. You know, if you were to go furry sim, that would be it. That would be it. Sim is a furry. You would be a pretty good fox, though. I think you'd make a fine fox. Like if you were to tune yourself up as like a furry, I could see you as more of a fox kind of person. No, I think so. You know, with a little nose. You know? you should do that for Halloween. You want to do that? Do you want to dress up as a fox? A little bit?
No.
Just a little bit? Come on.
No.
I'll take some pictures of you. We'll make a website. Come on. It'll be cool. No, really. Are you serious about rant or what? Come on, we can do this.
Oh, this is a rant thing, is it?
Well, we got to make... Well, you know, I'm thinking, you know...
That's what the new show's all about, right?
Well,
it's a furry news show that I'm doing.
That's what I'm thinking. The new show, you know, it's kind of pay-per-view sort of a deal, right?
You know? Oh, yeah, God.
We could totally
this is
do
going
that.
Down the wrong path. Let's go to the
Maybe
news.
We need to rethink our profit model. I'm just saying, you know, hey.
That's right.
We can look at that. You know, bet on
sin. All furry all the time.
All furry.
Yeah.
fur on fur action. As a matter of fact, you could even dress up like mannequins as furries and have them animatronic, and no one would be able to tell. You'd have like,
oh jeez,
we can have our first and jeez. What if we made like real fur doll? Like, what if you took a real doll and dressed it up as a furry? You know what I mean?
There's like, a whole segment of the market that they're missing out on.
You know, I never even thought of that. What if you made, like, you know, furry sex dolls? How fucking weird would that be? That would be some weird-ass shit right there. You know, that right now the guys would. At Real Doll, because I know they listen to the show, they're like, damn.
Are going, whoa.
Whoa. Fuck. Somebody cut that guy a check. Yeah, absolutely. Good work, Sean. Thank you very much. That'll be coming on this spring.
Keep the ideas coming. Yep.
You know who's got the good ideas, though, is Google. Google's doing some crazy shit. They're trying to take over the world right now. Okay? So, in combat programming news, thank you very much, Crunch, for sending this in. Google's mobile operating system, Android, has won plenty of adherents among the cell phone makers and gadget manufacturers since its 2007 debut. Now, defense contractor Raytheon, big heavy hitter in the contractor world, is preparing for a more urgent mission, saving lives in places like Afghanistan and Pakistan. In places like that. Not necessarily there. Places like there. But if you want to save lives in Sweden, no good. Using Android software tools, Raytheon, RTN, and Raytheon engineers built a basic application for military personnel that combines maps with a buddy list. Wow. Raytheon calls for
revolutionary.
Holy shit. What are they thinking over there? Calls the entire framework of the Raytheon Android Tactical System, or RATS for short. I love this. Mark Bingham, who's got the best name ever, or Mark Big Ham, Vice President...
Big Ham,
that's how it's spelled, is a Vice President of Business Development in Raytheon's Intelligence and Information Systems Unit. Says the company selected Android because its open-source nature made developing applications easy. Well, look at that. Military doing stuff that's easy. Every part of RATS is tailored for use on the battlefield. A soldier could make an unmanned plane, a buddy, for instance, and track its progress on the map using his or her phone. This is kind of a little disturbing to me that, you know, we're talking about, like, I suppose on the software you could run it on the
application. It's all secure. If it's open source, you can review the code and make sure it's completely secure, high level of encryption, and you can see all your buddies on the battlefield and know where they are and go pick them up if they're in trouble.
Something to be said.
It's an awesome idea.
It is a pretty good idea. They go on to say here, eventually, RATS devices could double as biometric scanners. A small device could snap on the top of a phone's camera, capture fingerprints. The photo could be sent off to off-site facility for processing. So, yeah, you go grab a bunch of dirty guys.
Have the bio-vitals feed through it. You click on your buddy, see how he's doing.
You round up a bunch of bad guys in a truck, how do you know if they're bad guys in a truck or if they're just a bunch of local farmers or immigrants or something? Right?
Yeah.
So you want to, like,
run
there.
Through.
You'd be like, hey, you know, you were in a Pakistani, you know, prison a while ago, and we released you, and you told us that you were a farmer, and you were going to go back to your home and wherever, and now...
Now I see you with a gun.
And
now what's going on here?
Here we are in the Congo, and you're here too, with a gun, again! Why is that? I'm going to shoot you in the face.
Fool me once,
shame on you. You know, bang thud, next customer. Okay, in space news, thank you very much, Draken Hunter, for sending this one in. Very good one. Starting in 2010, are you ready for this one, Sim? Because I've already signed us up for this. Starting in 2010, an international crew of six will simulate a 520-day trip to Mars, including a 30-day stay on the Martian surface. In reality...
I'll film it.
Make
a documentary.
Sure. In reality, they will live and work in a sealed facility in Moscow, Russia, to investigate the psychological and medical aspects of the long-duration space missions, which you can still film, and there's less chance of us dying due to Martian landscape. ESA
is looking
for European volunteers to take part. At the end of it, we're
not European.
There. Yeah, no. The candidate's nationality and residence is restricted to ESA member states. Austria, Belgium, Switzerland, Czech Republic, Germany, Denmark, Spain, France, Greece, Italy, Ireland, Norway, the Netherlands, Sweden, and Canada. So we are eligible. Yeah, we're eligible.
Nice.
We can go sign that shit up. You know, it should be okay.
520 days.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Sign our wives up. I don't think that would bode well for the marriage, though.
Well, or the job. You know,
or the job or anything else like that.
For those of us that, or
the life.
Like, you know, they're going to unseal that vault and it'll be like, you know, seriously, it'll be left for fucking dead. They'll be like, you know, people built into the walls. I would go crazy. 520 days in this thing. So that's what they're going to do.
There'd be Sean, naked, covered in blood, and everybody else would be dead.
Well, or the animal that used to be Sean. You know,
yes.
You know, it'd be awful. I would have just spawned the elder gods from the corners of the Matrix and brought them into the world and, you know, feasted on the blood of the innocent. So that's what they're doing in Moscow, which is pretty sketchy. I don't know if I'd really want to be involved with that, but, you know, it's out there.
They got to do it. They got to do it to simulate that part of it, the isolation and living under, you know, conditions where you only have a limited supply of food and equipment. Yeah, you have to do it.
Well, the thing is that 520 days and that sort of simulation, that's the kind of shit that would, like, fuck you up for life. Like, that would fuck you up, you know?
But, I mean, it's just a year. You probably get paid, and it's a...
No, it's volunteer, dude.
No.
Volunteers.
Yeah, volunteer, but you have... Well, maybe not. They give you food and shelter, right?
Well, so... yeah, if you're homeless. You know, it'd be a good gig if you were homeless. You know, you could... Yeah, there's no internet, though. And what would you do? Well, I'd write. Fuck you. I'll make my own internet. I'd write a book. You know, it'd be pretty easy for me.
Yeah.
I could spend... Shit, I could probably write, you know... Well, if you put me in that thing for 520 days, you'd probably get a season after now out of me. Audio. I think you'd get something because I'd be willing to do whatever it takes. But no, seriously, it'd be...
I'm guessing this would be pretty harsh because it says only a 30-day stay on the Martian surface. So the rest of that is a simulation of weightlessness. So it's not good.
Oh, wow. That's going to suck.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to suck a lot. So you're going to lose all your bone density and all your muscles. So you're going to have to be doing simulated workouts every day to pretend, or you have to lie still for, I don't know, how they're going to simulate that.
Hmm. Well, you know, if you're interested, you can check it out. You know, I guess.
They'll put you in a wind tunnel all day.
Yeah, woo!
Vertical wind tunnel.
Like, how messed up would you be after that? I'd like, I'd probably sneak in some drugs or something. I really think I would. I think I'd, like, bring in, like, enough LSD. I'd, like, bring a book. I'd ask if I could bring a book. And then I'd, like, cut the book in a little square so it's, like, totally dipped in LSD. And for 520 days, it'd be just, like, repetitive, massive, mad stoning of everyone inside of the whole place. So that when they do open it up, it's all like, you know, we're like fly people or something. You know, licking our palms of our hands and stuff. And
day five, reports from Sean Kennedy have stopped coming in.
That's right.
We cannot locate him. We think he's in the ducts.
Yeah, we think, you know, we locked the facility 300 days ago, but then we went out of business and we lost our money and we just didn't tell anybody. So it's been 7,000 days and, you know, we had a bioguard. They may still be alive. We don't know. In Big Brother news, moving away from that, this is why we need Big Brother so we don't wind up, you know, in Russian, you know, lab experiment facilities. In Big Brother news, America's spy agencies want to read your blog posts, keep track of your Twitter updates, and even check out your book reviews on Amazon. Wow, really?
They're desperate for reading.
No. In Qtel, the investment arm of the CIA and wider intelligence community, is pushing cash into Visible Technologies. This is a company, a software firm that specializes in monitoring social media. It's part of a larger movement within the spy service to get better at using open source intelligence, information that's publicly available, but often hidden in the flood of TV shows, newspaper articles, blog posts, online videos, and radio reports generated every day. Visible crawls over half a million Web 2.0 sites Visible crawls over half a million Web 2.0 sites a day. So just Web 2.0. Scraping more than a million...
Not the 1.0, so put all your web pages back to 1.0 and you're totally fine.
Yeah. And what this story goes on and talks about is how the mainstream media is now saying that, oh, guess what? Yeah, it's true. We're actually going through all of your media. And since Facebook was started by the FBI, you know, I don't...
CIA buddy would like to be your friend. Yeah. Do you accept?
Well, I'd say yeah, because I think the CIA is cool. I do. I like those guys. I don't think they're really the bad guys. See, that's the one difference. Is a lot of people are like, oh, I'm worried about the CIA. Well, I don't really think they're the bad guys. I don't. I've been recently kind of a little concerned lately because it seems like some of their government agencies are getting kind of corrupt. And there's a few problems there, a little bit of police brutality action on the go. And there's kind of some issues going on, which leads me to my next story. which is a good story, because this is something that I've been waiting to see happen, and I've been saying something like this would happen for a while. And well, you know, so let it be written, so let it be done. Here it is. In good cop pushback news, depending on your perspective, this group called the Oath Keepers are either strident defenders of liberty or dangerous peddlers of paranoia. In an age of town halls, talk radios, and tea parties, middle ground of opinion is hard to find. Launched in March by Las Vegan, which I think is great. They call him a Las Vegan. it's because he's from Las Vegas, right? So if you're Yeah, he's from Las Vegas. So if you're a Las Vegas, you're called a Las Vegan or the Lost Vegans. Anyway.
Doesn't mean I'm going to move there, that's for sure.
No, that's definitely for sure. Stuart Rhodes, the guy who built it, Oath Keepers, bills itself as a nonpartisan group of current and retired law enforcement and military personnel who vow to fulfill their oaths to the Constitution. More specifically, the group members, which numbers in the thousands, pledge to disobey orders they deem unlawful, including directives to disarm the American people and blockade American cities. By refusing the latter order, the Oath Keepers hope to prevent cities from becoming giant concentration camps, the scenario the 44-year-old Rose says he can envision happening in the coming years. It's a Cold War-era nightmare vision with a major twist. The occupying forces in this imagined future are American, not Soviet. The whole point of Oath Keepers is to keep a stop a dictatorship from ever happening here, Rhodes, a former Army paratrooper and Yale-trained lawyer, said in an interview with the Review Journal. My focus is on the guys with the guns because they can't do it without them. Thank you very much. We say it, if the American people decide it's time for a revolution, we will fight with you. That type of rhetoric has caught some attention of some groups that track extremist activity in the United States. In a July report titled Return of the Militias, the Alabama-based Southern Poverty Law Center singled out Oath Keepers as a particularly worrisome example of the Patriot Revival. The Patriot Movement, which I'm like, what the fuck? The Patriot Movement, so named because its adherents believe the federal government has stepped on the constitutional ideas of the American Revolution, gained traction in the 1990s and been closely linked to anti-government militia and white supremacist movements, which is complete horseshit, okay? They're not white. That's got nothing to do with white supremacy at all, okay?
Well, they want to spin it that way. They're going to try and tag to, you know, associate with them with any kind of right-wing group.
Oh, yeah.
Just to mar them, right?
Yeah, and of course, they're going to put Timothy McVeigh is responsible for that, right? Bear in mind...
People who want to defend the founding ideals of America, and they think that America's gone way beyond them. Well, that's why America was founded, right?
Right. Well, you know, this movement, of course, spawned Timothy McVeigh, right? Because they dropped Tim McVeigh's name here, right? But with that's fine.
Oh, of course.
Oh, okay. Well, if that's the case, because you see, there was five video cameras watching Tim McVeigh when he pulled up in the truck, and they won't show us the tapes because there was more than Tim, and there was a bunch of dudes who were running around on those trucks and shit, and nobody's willing to even talk about that. And bomb experts are having big problems with the Oklahoma City bombings. So interesting that you're gonna. But since you brought him up, you know, that's fine. Why don't we revisit that? Are you ready to show us the videotapes which you have?
They never show us the videotape,
Sean.
No,
they never show you the videotape. Because it's
for
cool.
anything. Nope. For any big event.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that would reveal the truth.
Yeah.
And we can't handle the truth.
Of course not. Of course not. And that's what this pinhead Mark Potok said. I'm not accusing Stuart Rhodes or any member of his group of being a Tim McVeigh or a future Tim McVeigh.
But I'll talk about it.
Mark Potok said. But these kinds of conspiracy theories are what drive a small number of people to criminal violence. What's troubling about Oath Keepers is that the idea that men and women armed and ordered to protect the public in this country are clearly being drawn into a world of false conspiracy theory. Now, the problem here is that these people who we are drawing into a world of false conspiracy theory, those people are actually in their purpose, their job in life. The thing that you've spent a lot of money teaching them to do is investigation. Okay? That's what they do. So... It's, you know, what you got is you got cops and military who are going, no, man, this is wrong. And I think that from what I've seen here, it's definitely worth a look. And I bet you there's a lot of people. I know there's a lot of cops that do listen to the show. I get a lot of mail from guys. Some of them are cops, and they're saying, hey, you know what? We agree with what you're saying. And I think the Oath Keepers, there's going to be a lot of people who's going to check out the Oath Keepers, especially the military crowd. I think this guy's going to get some traction. The Oath Keepers got some unwanted attention in April when an Oklahoma man loosely connected to the group, was arrested for threatening violence.
By the media.
Yeah, in an anti-tax protest in Oklahoma City. Rhodes called the man a nut who had no real affiliation with his group. Nonetheless, Potop's group now monitors Oath Keepers on his website blog, Hate Watch. Hate Watch. You know?
They hate America.
You know what? Fuck you. There's no such thing as a thought crime. All right? There's no such thing as a thought crime. You can't sit there and, you know, oh, you're going to put my name on a list on your website? Well, I'm going to put your name on my list on my website. So there. Oath Keepers is not preaching violence or governmental overthrow. That's important. On the contrary, it's asking the police and military to lay down their arms in response to unlawful orders, which in Canada, they talk a lot about that shit. Like, that is a big deal.
Oh, yeah?
You're supposed to. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they talk about, like, disobeying lawful commands. If you can disobey an unlawful command. If it's an unlawful command, like you're sitting there, there's the women and children. The officer says, "Go shoot the women and children." You'd be like, "Fuck that! No, I'm not doing that."
As it should be.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. There's methods in place in the Canadian forces to stop that. I don't know about the Yanks. I never was in there, but I know up here they do. But I got some spin news, which I'm going to skip over because it's a stupid story. About, they're running in here. Grandma thought that the internet was rotting your brain, but it's possible she did a little fact time with Google. She could stay sharper in the noggin herself. Right? This is the same story which I've ran. This is, I think, my fifth time running this story. Okay?
It just gets better and better every time a news place releases it.
Yeah, it's basically people who are already using the internet have more activity areas in the brain related to complex reasons, but the study couldn't define what was the cause and effect. Maybe people with better complex reasoning skills are more drawn to the internet. And that's fine. That's fine and everything, but
yeah.
I bet you if you were to do like a similar case study against people who read every day, you'll find that, they're probably the people who read every day are a little bit more well-adjusted, you know. But
are people who do anything with their brains, anything to exercise their brains rather than just, like, watching television?
Well, which is, stay asleep. Stay asleep. Don't wake up, you know.
And, obey. Consume.
Yeah, pretty much, and then this is your God. Now, I talked about this early on. We're talking about the eco-terrorist news, okay? This was sent in by Kizzle. Mm-hmm. At a fundraising event in Los Angeles on Saturday, the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society unveiled their newest ocean defense vessel, the 80 Gill, formerly known as the Earth Race. The Earth Race was one of the fastest ships in the world, apparently. The ship was renamed in honor of the benefactor that helped the anti-whaling group acquire the ship. We are very excited that Adie Gill, will be joining Steve Irwin in Antarctica on this campaign. Captain Paul Watson said, with these two ships, we will mount the most ambitious and aggressive effort to date to obstruct the slaughter of whales in the Southern Ocean. We've been following the transformation of the Earth Race / Gill from a world record holding speedboat to an anti-whaling vessel since it was rumored back in April that it would be joining the Sea Shepherd fleet. With the new paint job, a few additional high-tech goodies now installed, it looks like the ship will be ready to join Irwin for Operation Waltzing Matilda this December. As expected, Watson has made it clear he intends to put Gill in harm's way, particularly as an intercept and blocking weapon against the Japanese fleet. Sounds like a risky game of chicken, but Adie Gill Captain Pete Bethune is ready for the challenge. If they ever hit us with an explosive harpoon, it'll be massive damage, he told Ekarazi during the summer. But certainly we do our best to get in their way. If they hit us, it will always be their guy that pulled the trigger, but hopefully things won't come to that. Now, this kind of a story right here. This one here kind of, I don't know,
But the Japanese need their thousands of whales a year to do their testing on.
Well, the thing is that the Sea Shepherd Society has actually sunk ships, okay? Like, they've actually gone up to ships, they've opened them up, and they've sunk ships, they've put lives at risk.
Exactly. I understand their sentiment, but the way they're going about it is a little...
It's kind of a little much. And go see Sharkwater. I mean, Paul Watson's a fucking psycho. Okay, Paul Watson's nuts. He's the fattest vegan I've ever met. I'm not saying he's not vegan. I'm just saying he's pretty fat for a vegan, apparently. But, you know...
He eats a lot of vegan candy.
Yeah, I guess he must, because... I'm here to tell you some of the stuff that that I'm having to deal with is just like I don't know,
but
man.
I guess he sees the people just killing and killing year after year, nothing being done. He's like, okay, well, let's go get something done then.
Well, and I can understand that. But by the same token, I think that's international waters, right? Like where they're doing
it. Yep, it is.
Yeah, that's international waters. So if you're in international waters, you know.
All bets are off.
You know, seriously, like, if he goes and gets himself shot to shit by a bunch of Japanese who he's going down there and stating blatantly that he's going to fuck with them, you know, well, okay then. I guess that's what you're doing.
That's the risk you take, right?
Yeah, you know, I would not encourage people to become involved with this guy. You know what I mean? I think that
it's not bad news.
Well, because if you go to his website, you can see there's places for you to sign up and shit. It's pretty nuts.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's always looking for people to crew the boat, you know, and live, you know, life as a hard vegan or whatever the hell it is that they do there.
Don't associate me with that.
Well, they are. They're all vegans. The whole lot of them. You know, they're part of that.
They'll breathe air, too.
What's that? No, I'm just saying that, no, they're not vegans because, like, it's directly related to that political mindset. Like, come on, cut the shit. You're an animal rights activist, you're going to be a vegan, right? Like, there's not a lot of animal rights activists who aren't vegans, really.
Well, they should be a vegan.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. The prosecution
rests. But one does not completely... coincide with the other. Doesn't mean if you're a vegan, you are going to go kill people so that you save an animal.
Right. And we would never encourage that. but Sim's crazy. So, moving forward. Now, this is a little bit of Pirate Bay news. Because it has to do with where they moved. After being chased by various anti-piracy groups, the Pirate Bay returned a few hours ago. Nobody puts a Pirate Bay in a corner. They said on their front page, a reference to Patrick Swayze's famous line in Dirty Dancing, not in a corner, but what about in a bunker? Last Friday, we reported that Pirate Bay was being forced to move outside of Sweden, and that the world's largest BitTorrent tracker had found a new home in the Ukraine. Unfortunately, this was short-lived. The Pirate Bay now moved to a cyber bunker. Cyber bunker is located in a former military nuclear warfare bunker in the Netherlands. The facility was built by NATO in the 50s to survive a nuclear war. But after the nuclear threats were over, it was sold to its current owners. The bunker is now used as a web hosting data center. Hooray! The bunker is equipped with electromagnetic pulse shielding, a nuclear NBC shields, air filtration to guarantee the servers that host them stay up no matter what happens. As of this week, it is also the new home of the Pirate Bay.
We should move there. We should rant there.
Yeah, we should.
That's awesome.
That is pretty cool. According to Sven Kampfus, one of the owners of CB3RB Cyberbunker, that there are some initial troubles with the setting up. Pirate Bay with its new location as several carriers refuse to pass on the relay information after they receive threats from the entertainment industry, led by the Dutch anti-piracy outfit Brain. That's a pretty good name for a supervillain group. Despite these troubles, the site was now accessible to again in most locations. And Cyberbunker will continue to host the site and does not intend to cave into the threats of the entertainment industry. I don't expect Brain to do pretty much anything at this point. The last conversation we had with them was about some MP3 site they wanted to have shut down somewhere in the 2001 and 2002. It took around 3 hours at 2 a.m. and at night, and the end result with both parties agreed to not agree. Campus told Torrent. Whether the Pirate Bay is actually located in one of the server racks at the bunker or another hideout was not confirmed. So we don't even know where the hell it is. So they got it...
secret.
Yeah. Yeah. So
they're tracing the lines as we speak.
You know. Well, good luck with that shit. You know, seriously.
Yep.
So, as well, let's look at some Cyberpunk kit. Now, you might like this because, you know, for those of you that don't have a Sumerian to follow you around with thousands of dollars worth of camera kit, you now can have life logging, a camera you can wear as a pendant to record every moment of your life. Will soon be launched by a UK-based firm. Originally invented to help jog the memories of people with Alzheimer's disease, it might one day be used by consumers to create life logs that archive their entire lives. Worn on a cord around the neck, the camera takes pictures automatically as often as once every 30 seconds. It also uses an accelerometer and light sensor to snap an image when a person enters a new environment, and an infrared sensor to take one when it detects the body heat of a person in front of the wearer. It can fit 30,000 images in its 1 gigabyte memory. The Viacon Review was originally developed as the SenseCam by Microsoft Research Cambridge UK for the research of studying Alzheimer's and other dementias. Studies show that reviewing the events of the day using SenseCam photos could help some people improve long-term recall. Some see images taken using a SenseCam during trials in Cambridge, BC. Now, Viacon, based in Oxford, UK, which specializes in motion capture technology for the movie industry, has licensed the technology for the camera from Microsoft and intends to put it into large-scale production. Your cost for one of these little units is about $820 US. Ooh. And it should be out in 2010, which I kind of look at that and go, are you kidding me? Seriously?
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
You could take an existing camera, change its firmware to automatically hold down the button and put a couple gadgets on the outside, and you've got this.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty seriously ridiculous to even consider it. You know what I mean? So, but I guess this is what they're trying to market to the Web 2.0 crowd, right? Like that's probably where they're going with that. And I guess if you market it right, it'll be well received, right? Is that the idea?
That's right.
I suppose. But, yeah. You know, it's...
Everybody's all excited about sharing their whole life with everybody else in the whole world. So, you know, it's got to sell to somebody.
Well, I was excited about doing that before it was cool. I just wanted to say that.
That's right. Before now it's passé. Cool.
I think I'm going to get me one of those LED... those camera-hiding LED things that, like, fuck up your face on LED cameras or whatever. I think that'd be really handy. You know, like...
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna
actually... Of course, it alerts the people watching the cameras to immediately watch you wherever you go.
Well, the thing is, though, is that there's no one actually watching the cameras, right?
Millions of cameras for hundreds of people.
Right, so
watching.
something goes sideways, and they go to the camera tape, and they go to round up everybody who was there. Oh, look! We don't know who that guy is. Mind you, you know, if you do get caught, you're gonna get probably really... get your ass beat down because you know.
That's right, because they don't like secrets.
Yeah, they don't like that stuff. They don't like that stuff.
Especially if you have something encrypted on you as well. Tell us your password. Why? Yeah. What do you think's on there? We don't know. We'll find out and charge you with it when we do and decrypt it.
That's right. That's right. You suck. And helping with that, which is what we're talking about, is augmented reality, which is today's daily hack. Cyberpunk Review, great website. Awesome website. You should check it out. They have a lot of good cyberpunk information there. But they have an augmented reality primer, which is pretty sweet. We're not just playing games here. Browse through the 12 pages of augmented reality articles from B2B, and you'll see more than just zombie blasters. These city guides, movies, presentation, world maps, even T-shirts are getting into the AR craze. All currently or soon will be available for your portable devices. But they are currently working on AR without the need for portables. So augmented reality, it's here, okay? And it's starting to...
Nice.
That's going to be the new direction that we're going to be going, where Second Life's going to combine with First Life, so we'll just have no life, and that'll be fine. Now, helping with this... Now, I posted a link to a movie on my Twitter, which I put Gun Store behind, and ad nauseum pointed this movie out. It's basically... This is like high-level governmental officials talking about UFOs. Like, just check it out, okay? And the documentary, I believe, is called "I Know What I Saw." It's one of these kind of documentaries that makes you go, "Fuck," you know? I don't know. Now I'm not quick to jump into camp over here. I'm still wearing the multicam, and you know, I've got me and all my wogs on my carrier, and we're all fine over here, you know. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes. But definitely something to check out. But that website, that documentary, is on Documentary Heaven, which you may know about this site, Sim. Documentary Heaven was set up in early July 2009 to provide the public with a vast collection of documentaries spanning across every genre out there. We intend on continually updating the site on a daily basis to bring you nothing but the very best. We understand that the internet can be a very interesting place filled with much to do, but have you ever made one of those days where it seems to be absolutely nothing amongst that vast collection of websites that could possibly interest you? Well, now there's DocumentaryHeaven.com. So whenever you're bored, just relaxing, or simply in the mood to watch something interesting, why not pop into our site to find a documentary that takes your interest? So, you know, it's, but they got some interesting documentaries there. Something to check out.
Very cool.
It is very cool. It is very, very cool. And that is all I got for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. Cows turn themselves inside out all the time. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to the show, please distribute. But if you can donate, please do so by clicking on the little tab there on any of the Rant Media pages saying subscribe. And you too will feed a hungry child somewhere, because eventually I'll buy some with your money. That kid will get paid for what he made for me. Rant Media Studios, that's our address. Box 950837 East Broadway, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. V5T1WO. One woo. And as well, we have a big announcement because of Sim's super big fat show, which he's doing the first party. Yeah, whoops. Freudian slip. The first episode of the Pirate Party Radio with your host Sumerian at 5 p.m. Thursday, October the 29th, is when it's going to be airing. So it's going out next Thursday. That's when they're going to be able to download it.
On Rant Radio Talk, and you can download it. And,
so it's at,
you know,
it's
do all your podcast
five.
Stuff.
So what they could do is they can download it, they can listen to it, and then how long is the show going to be? Do we know how long the show's going to be?
An hour.
It's an hour. Wow. An hour. Ballsy. Yeah. Ballsy. So you're doing an hour.
Well, the interview is 20 minutes, so I'm not going to just do 10 minutes of news. By the time I introduce it to the interview, it's already over.
Well, yeah, for sure.
So it has to be an hour, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
There's an interview with the leader of the Pirate Party of Canada, Jake Danes.
Yeah, who I met him. Yep. We met him. That was a pretty good call. Yeah. He's a pretty sharp guy, so it'll be interesting to see how that carries on. And how very fitting that the Pirate Party has a show on our station, and that you're hosting it. I'm pretty cool about that, man. I think that's pretty great. So I know I'll be downloading it, checking it out, and I encourage you to do that too at home.
You can check it out at piratepartyradio.com.
Oh, look at that! You got the Earl and everything. Good for
the
you.
Earl.
The Earl. Thanks, Earl. And we want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at randradio.com. And if you'd like to keep up with new shows and events, writing, products, whatever that Rant Media is coming out with, you should get the Rant newsletter. And you can get that by, for no charge whatsoever, send an email saying, hey, put me on the newsletter, to info@randradio.com. And let me tell you, there is no chance of your email getting spammed because of us. Like, I'm here to tell you, not a prayer. It's not going to happen. So don't worry, we destroy your email after. Just our spam.
This is the stuff we send you.
Yeah, which is, you don't send a lot.
You'll like our spam, though. It's like once a month.
Yeah.
So it's very low volume, let's say.
Low volume spam from Rant Media. If you like the music in the background, of course, you want to check out some Psytrance. And I'm going to fade out now with one of the tracks from my own personal collection. Not too sure which one I'm going to go with yet, but we'll get there. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. And if me and Sim can get along, hey, so can you! Sim, have you got anything else that you have to...
No, just listen next Thursday to my show.
Oh,
but I'll be back on this show. I'm not leaving this show, everyone. Don't worry.
Oh, well. Well,
Sean was hoping, you know.
No, hell no. You can't leave now. Now I've gotten used to having you back. The whole internet would revolt. All right.
That's right.
So until next time, everyone. Hey, that's what... wait a minute. We will never feed anywhere at each other's throats. Yeah, I said that part. Then I went through that. Okay.
I've
got to say that every show. Until next time, that's what server said. End of line.
All around me are familiar faces. Worn out places, worn out faces. Bright and early for the daily races. Going nowhere, going nowhere. Tears are filling up their glasses. No expression, no expression. Hide my head, I wanna drown my sorrow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I find it kinda funny, I find it kinda sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world. Mad world. Children waiting for the day they feel good. Happy birthday, happy birthday. And to feel the way that every child should. Sit and listen, sit and listen. Went to school and I was very nervous. No one knew me, no one knew me. Hello teacher, tell me what's my lesson. Look right through me, look right through me. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad.